Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lore Watch. I'm your host, Joe Perez, one of several lore-focused folks from Blizzard Watch, and I've got my stupendous tinfoil hat-wearing amigo with me, Matt Rossi. How you doing today, Matt?
I ripped it off. I don't wear it. Let them come in. Let them invade me. I don't care.
Which is good, because that's going to be necessary for today. Today is going to be another What If episode. The first one seemed to go over very well. Y'all enjoyed it. And so we're going to go ahead and do another one today. But that doesn't mean that we still don't want your questions. If you have questions for this or any of our podcasts, be sure to send those in to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Specify the show that it is for in the subject line, and please provide any special pronunciation or phonetic spelling of your name so that we don't mangle it as much. I can't promise that I will never mangle it, but well, you know, we'll try. If you want to hit us up on Discord, we have the Q&A Podcast Questions channel, which is open to everybody. Same rules apply there. And if you are a Patreon supporter, as a way of saying thank you for helping us keep the lights on, we have the Patreon Q&A Podcast Questions channel set aside for you, where we tend to look first for our questions and topics. So this what if, I posed a question to Matt. Two options, really. And one that I think I know I've thought about a lot, and I don't know if Matt has before this, but Hearthstone actually originally did this with the whole Death Knight event that they did a while ago, where different characters had fallen under the sway of the Lich King or possibly became the Lich King instead of Arthas. So I don't know which one Matt wants to cover, so we're going to do this live. The two options here are what if Jaina had become the Lich Queen, which I think has been explored a little bit before. And the other one is what if Kael'thas had become the Lich King. Matt, which one do you want to go down the rabbit hole with me on?
Honestly, I kind of feel like we should start with one and then maybe embrace the possibility that we'll have to talk about the other one. Because I don't know that I have a lot to say on these guys. They were not the characters I thought would be interesting when I thought about alternate Lich Kings.
Really?
Yeah. Because for one of them, I don't think it would have happened. Like, I just don't see a path to it. And the other, I don't think we'd be very effective at it. So do you want, tell me which of those two options are you more interested in hearing me talk about? And
I have a feeling, I think the one that you think doesn't have a path towards it is Jaina.
No, I think Jaina could be the Lich King. Absolutely.
You think that she would not be effective at it? Interesting. Let's explore this. Let's talk about this.
When I say not effective, I don't mean that Jaina isn't competent or able to be. I'll just say it. There is no way that she goes into a battle of minds and wills with Ner'zhul, and it takes her 10 years to win it. That clown would be done in 5 minutes. And then what you have is Jaina, with her own will, immediately upon putting the hat on, in control of all that power, and not beholden to any, you know, deals with the Legion or anything like that. Immediately.
So you don't think that back then, at the younger age, even though she was an incredibly talented mage, and even though she was studying under Antonidas, which she was at the time, that the Helm of Domination would not have posed any threat to her, potentially?
I'm not saying the Helm wouldn't. I'm saying Ner'zhul wouldn't.
Which I agree with. I think she would clean Ner'zhul's clock.
Yeah. And what happens then is Arthas, for all of his positive qualities, Arthas is not a deep thinker. Arthas likes to decide, okay, this is the way. Jaina thinks very hard about what she's going to do. And it's a problem in some cases. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen that for Jaina, that can be a real issue. Like when her father showed up and all of that stuff went down. And that's, I think, it's the fact that that stuff happened with her father is the reason I think, let me put it this way. If Jaina becomes the Lich Queen, how does she get there? Do we assume that does she help Arthas' Stratholme? That's not happening.
So here's, and it, I don't
let,
think,
let me, let me, yeah, let me just go through this and then you can jump in. The reason I don't think she's going to help Arthas at Stratholme is the reason that she objected to Stratholme wasn't just moral. It was moral, but it was also a dumb plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 100%. Jaina doesn't do dumb plans. If Jaina comes up with a plan, the only reason it won't work is if something happens to stop her. We've seen Jaina do horrible things. We saw it when she was going to destroy Orgrimmar. She was so wrecked after Theramore that she was going to literally wipe Orgrimmar off the map. Nobody, when we see that, neither Thrall nor Caligos are going into this thinking, oh, I can stop her. They're thinking, I can talk her down. Thrall didn't even try. He made noises about it, but he knew with the power of that focusing iris, she is going to crush me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Jaina. You put power in Jaina's hands. So I shouldn't have said wouldn't be very effective. I think what I meant to say was the story would be like over very quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think here's where maybe we diverge a little, because I agree with the sentiment, right? And this is why this I always thought was an interesting sort of thought process. If she was to be in this position, one, it's the idea of what catalyst would push her that way. For those of you at home, the original Plague of Undeath was definitely not just done by the Lich King or anything like that. It involved the Nathrezim, the giving infected grain to people and turning them into the scourge, essentially. That's what started it as the catalyst, because that was sort of Arthas's weak point. That was sort of the dent in the armor that they could exploit.
Yeah, and we also have to keep in mind that it was Kel'Thuzad who Arthas was going up against. And Kel'Thuzad was a lot smarter than Arthas.
And the reason that I think the what if part is curious to me is what circumstances would entice Jaina to start looking into that power, because I think that's the vector, right?
See, here's the thing, because I had a thought about that and I was gonna stop because you wanted to go
over. Sure, go ahead.
I think that the way to get Jaina as a Lich Queen is to make her aware of the other possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Jaina, I could see Jaina absolutely doing an end run around all of them. And when I say all of them, I mean she'd literally go around Kel'Thuzad and go straight for the Lich King, for the Ner'zhul Lich King. And I could see her offering a deal to him that, you know, I'll be your servant. I know way more about magic. I'm much more... You know, Arthas has his qualities, but let's be upfront here. You know, if you want somebody who can wield power, I'm your girl.
And I think that would appeal.
I see her doing this. I would see her doing this partially to save him, because mm-hmm. she did love him. You know, they were in love, although they were both very young. Like, Jaina now is a mature woman. Jaina then was young. And as you pointed out, she's young, so it's not the same as the Jaina of today. She hadn't been through as much yet. But she makes the deal, she puts on the hat, and then she wipes him out. Like, she there's no reason to believe she would actually keep her word.
Well, and like, I agree
with that. That's the difference. That's the other thing about Jaina. Jaina has been revealed over the years. Jaina will straight up just go if you push her hard enough.
So, and I think that was more true in her younger years too, because she was definitely a lot rasher then. Like, she was always she was always intelligent and always cunning. But there was a rashness about her. And there's, if you go back and play Warcraft 3, a lot of the discussions between her and Antonidas and any of the stuff is it's literally about controlling her emotions, putting them in check, thinking about things analytically like a mage under the guise of order, right? But here's what I think is interesting. I think the catalyst, if I'm looking at this, isn't that you need to trick her into it. I think you're right, and I think we're on the same page there. You tell her everything, but maybe not in the manner that we think. Because if
I would think I would phrase it less tell her everything and more that everything you say to her would have to be true.
So, but that's what I mean. We understand this is part of Zoval's plan now. We know this now. We didn't know this back then. But let's look at it through the lens of what we know now as well. Zoval's plan is to remake the universe to essentially defend it, or at least in his own misguided way. And that's sort of the core of it. That's the nucleus of the idea that turned into the horror show that was everything that happened in the Maw. The Nathrezim are working for him. If one of them were to pop up and say, listen, we've been watching you. You've got the goods. You've got the intelligence. You've got the raw power. You need to know what's coming. And here's what's going to happen in we don't know how long. A threat from outside the known universe is going to come in. It's going to start devouring this. And you start showing her things. You start showing her the fall of Koresh. You start showing her, you know, the entities that of the Shadowlands, the devourers that are coming into the Shadowlands and eating anima. You show her, like, all these things that are true, right? You show her and you're like, what's coming is much worse. And you think the Titans can save you, or the knowledge that you have of the power of Arcane can save you. It can't. You need more. We can give that to you. And we're going to do this with or without you. It would be better with you, because if it's not you, we're going to go get Arthas, because then we can get a general to try to lead our forces. And I think you're right. I think she wouldn't fall under the sway, per se. And I think she has enough, even at this time in her life, enough mental acumen to sort of stave off the domination. She would completely oust Ner'zhul. I think that goes without saying. And I think that I think you're right. I don't think she would go and end around Kel'Thuzad at this point. I think she would just obliterate him. I think he wouldn't even be a thing anymore.
Well, here's the thing. It also depends, too, on when she decides to do this. Because Here's the thing. If you read the original Ner'zhul story, she's there in Dalaran when they kick him out.
Yeah, she knows him.
Yeah, they're not friendly. Like he thinks he's above everybody, and she obviously she's this brash new student of Antonidas. He would view her with at best grudging respect for her ability, and at worst outright contempt, just like he feels for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jaina had been given a more hands-on role in terms of determining what he was doing, and if they'd done it sooner. See, that's one of the problems. They let Kel'Thuzad go.
Yeah.
And he wanders off into the north, and nobody follows him, and nobody determines what he's doing. And Jaina even says, are we sure this is wise? That's in the story. You can go read it. I was just thinking about this the other day. She even says to Antonidas, are we sure this is wise? Just, you know, and they go, he's destroyed. No one will work with him anymore. There's nothing he can do. And it's like, you find it, like, you can actually feel her thinking, he's an archmage. He was on the council. He just on pure magical power, he's a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to, you know, they were being incredibly arrogant. And that's at the time she didn't feel confident enough to stand up, because I think in part because of the lectures Antonidas kept giving her about controlling her emotions.
Yeah, I think so like, too.
But if, ironically enough, if she had decided, this isn't happening, I'm not letting him walk out of here and just go do whatever he wants. And ironically enough, this brings in the other person that you brought up originally, Kael'thas.
Yeah.
Kael'thas is the only person I can imagine in Dalaran who would have helped her.
So I have an idea about that too, because I think there's a line here that I think combines where you were going with her and sort of some of my thoughts on it as well. I just want to lay this out and see what you think. Okay. So let's say she dons the helm. She dominates Ner'zhul. He ceases to exist. She takes that power. Let's say that, you know, she bought into she needs to defend Azeroth because this is where she keeps her stuff. I don't think it's long before a couple things happen, because one of the things that I think is interesting about Arthas is he's not a mage. What is everything that the Lich King is basically doing. It's not the light. It's manipulating anima. It's adding essentially that arcane twist to it. I think she starts dissecting that. She starts to understand that more than anybody else. And then she starts to realize the true nature of that power. And I think the reason I think it becomes a more scary proposition is because now she realizes she doesn't need the Nathrism. She doesn't need Zolval. She doesn't need essentially anybody as long as she has a conduit to that power and is able to have full control over it. She did it once. She can continue to do it. And I think a couple things happen. One, she starts reaching out to people like Kael'thas. Kael'thas was in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
He would do anything for her. If she were to pull him aside and say, this terrible thing is coming, your people understand what it's like to run from persecution. What happens if everything, whatever comes down, takes everything away from us? Will you stand with me? And he joins up, because I don't think he tells her no.
No, let me put it this way, though. What I was thinking that I think we should throw into this is quite simple. Arthas built Ice Crown Citadel on top of the Soul Engines. And the Soul Engines were part of a gigantic energy absorption technique that would connect to where?
Xerath Mortis.
And why did he do that? Why was he building this thing?
Unless the
helmet. Well, I think he knew. I just don't think he knew why.
Yeah. He
knew he was doing it. He didn't know why he was doing it. Mm-hmm. He was just doing it because it kept coming to him to do it. Because through the helmet, as you pointed out, it's the helm of domination. It was dominating him. And I've said before that I think the Titans have a very similar kind of command ability to domination magic that bloody heck, I can't remember his name. He's the Primus.
The Primus, yep. The
Primus comes up with domination magic, and they actually use it on Zolval. But where did he get it?
Mm-hmm. It had to exist beforehand,
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if it had to, but I think it did, because the magic that the Titans used, that Sargeras used to control the demons, is essentially that. And we know this because when we go to Black Temple with a warlock to get the green fire, there's a whole thing about how the magic that warlocks use to summon demons is based on that original fragmented magic that Sargeras used to dominate them.
And we know we talked about this before with like the Cipher of Damnation, right? We've talked about this before, and it reminds me a lot of like Tolkien's Words of Power. Right. Like the stuff that Gandalf and Saruman and them all knew. They were these primal commands, this primal magic that they were able to tap into.
Keep going. Jaina had access to everything in Dalaran's library, right?
She sure did.
And with her.
And Kul'Tiras.
Yeah. And Kul'Tiras. But theirs was not as good as Dalaran's. But yeah, there might have been something there. But more importantly, she would have met, we know that during the events of Warcraft 3, she met Medivh.
She absolutely met Medivh.
So now she knows there's also books that have even more information in Karazhan. So let me break down where I think we're going to go here. Let me break down what I think Jaina is going to be doing. You start off with Jaina deciding to save people or to save the whole world. She's going to take this power. She's not going to let Arthas have it. She knows that they're trying to manipulate him. So she throws herself on the sword, so to speak, out of love, not just for him, but of the whole world. She puts the helmet on. She takes Ner'zhul out. But because she's basically done an end run around Kel'Thuzad and everybody and the Nathrezim, like maybe the Nathrezim contacted her at first, but she's going around everybody at this point. She's done the thing. She's made the deal. Now she has Kael'thas as somebody who has not seen his city get destroyed.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Kel'Thuzad is never died, and thus didn't.
And Arthas didn't lead the. And Arthas wasn't there to lead the march because Arthas is in the Lich. It wasn't the Death Knight at this point. He didn't have Frostborn. Yeah.
Kel'Thuzad is still alive, and therefore doesn't need to be raised. There's not going to be a spell summoning Archimonde because she's going to just kill his ass. Sorry,
that's our one.
She's just going to kill him and probably raise him to advise her, so he'll be a Lich, but directly under her control. And so Kael'thas, she can just basically show Kael'thas this is what they were going to do. He was planning to die. Like, here's what he was planning to do. So she tells him all that. And meanwhile, she knows about the Cipher because the Cipher of Damnation is known to them for one very simple reason. Because a dwarf mage and warlock named, Tharason, Emperor Tharason, used it to blow up areas right next to Stormwind to create the Blasted Lands and the Burning Steps. Like, not the Blasted Lands, but the Burning Steps. He created the Burning Steps by using the Cipher to pull Ragnaros into our world, which was, he was going for something a lot less big than you know, the Fire Lord. Oopsie, boom, blows up Blackrock Mountain, blows up the surrounding areas. It's an explosion so powerful that the combined armies of the Wildhammers and the Bronzebeards see it and are like, they can't possibly have survived that. We're just going to leave. And as far as everyone knew, that is, in fact, what happened. She would have lots of different ways to find out about it.
There's also another interesting avenue of knowledge here that I the reason I bring up Kul'Tiras is because I agree with the Cipher Damnation stuff, and I think that is really, really important. But I also think that if she's seeking knowledge on this power, I think she starts looking into the Drust.
Yeah. That's not actually a bad idea. That's something that will probably occur to somebody from Kul'Tiras.
And think about it. Like, she's heard these stories, maybe. She sees the similarities, right? She starts seeing, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, the Drust are basically Vrykul. Yeah, we know that they're very similar. Yeah.
They're Vrykul, but they're Vrykul that are capable of shoving their souls into vessels. They're capable of doing a lot of the warlocky things that we would normally attribute to Gul'dan or Ner'zhul knowing about. That, you know, maybe is knowledge she has. She starts seeing lines there. And this is where I think it gets scary, right? Because not only is she doing an end around, not only is she gathering all this knowledge, but she's seen the threads in a way that I don't think anybody has before. And she's got the avenue of that power. I think she has the potential to create a better undeath spell. Not necessarily. Go ahead.
No, I want to tell you something else that you just made me think about. The Drust were very good at druidism around death.
Yes, they were.
And imagine you've got a Lich King who, instead of having the shamanic training of Ner'zhul, and we don't know if she wouldn't still have access to that. She might have been able to rip it out of him.
Probably.
So she might have access to shamanism as well, which would go into ancestor worship and so forth to a degree, and therefore something new, a new way to look at how souls work.
But we knew that the Kul'Tirans were also doing ancestor worship as well, so she has an avenue of a history of people that did that already.
And then she'd have the Drust aspect where she could look at druidism and see a parallel. Because the thing is we already know that, like, for one example, we know that necromancy can be done with any power source.
Yeah, it's been said that it's not necessarily an inherently evil, dark thing. It's just power.
Yeah, but think about this. That means, and what we've seen with the Drust means that druidic magic can be done with any power source.
Mm-hmm.
Which means all these various magical traditions can be done with any of the fundamental forces that create the Warcraft cosmology. You could do arcane magic with fel, instead of just doing fel magic. You could manipulate chaos with arcane magic. You could use order to fuel chaotic effects. All of these things can be compatible, or at least there seems to be a possibility for that. And that means that Jaina would be, being a mage, being someone who's very logical and very rational, but at the same time extremely strong-willed and emotional, as you pointed out, she'd be looking at all this and possibly insulated from her emotions by the fact that she's now the Lich Queen. Guys, I don't know if the Lich King / Queen is technically undead. I honestly don't know.
Technically, I don't think it is, right? Like, at the time that Arthas takes on the mantle, Arthas is still alive. He hasn't ripped his heart out yet. That was afterwards.
Yeah, and when Bolvar becomes the Lich King, Bolvar wasn't dead before. He's not dead now. When he stops being the Lich King, he's still not dead.
Well,
in fact, because of the dragons, he might never be able to die. But he was the Lich King. So if Jaina is not undead, but she can use the power of undeath, she can use it. I think you're looking at, she's going to start mining the hat.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm going. Yeah.
She's going to start looking for, like, all right, you're telling me all this. How much do you know? And she can look into what Zoval is planning, because Zoval at this point is still trapped in the maw.
Yeah.
Go ahead now.
This is where I'm getting, because one of the things that I think is a weakness of Arthas, And one of the main reasons his plan failed as a Death Knight and the Lich King is because he understood resources that were put in front of him. And he looked at a finite resource. He looked at repurposing the Scourge. He looked at essentially killing his own citizens to enlist an army. Instead, I don't think Jaina does that, right? Jaina, you like we talked about, she's got her own will. She's not going to kill her friends. She's not going to, you know, destroy whole nations. She's going to recruit instead. She's still a diplomat at this point. And I think two things happen. I think you have her going to her friends or people that she thinks she can trust, like Kalthas and like and other leaders, and recruiting them, telling them what she knows. At the same time, she's mining the hat and she's learning about this power that, okay, so the Drust are able to come back. We know that they were doing these rituals. The hat has already got something on this. I've seen stuff like this in the archives of Medivh. I've seen stuff like this maybe possibly in the archives, the deep forbidden archives of Dalaran. Where are they getting their power from? Oh, there's a whole realm powered, or at least where the souls of our departed heroes for countless millennia have gone. Wait, there's souls there from worlds that aren't ours as well? Because I think she gets to that point. I think she mines deep enough that she starts pulling some of that data back, because that helm is still tied to the realm of the Shadowlands. It's still tied to the realm of the Death. And I think instead of killing and resurrecting the people, she starts going and mining souls. She starts bringing Anima back.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that that's one way she could go about it, is to bring people back from the Shadowlands. Because we
show them in Drust bodies.
Yeah, well, we know that Odin knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Odin got that information by Helya making a deal with a servant of Zoval. Not even Zoval, a servant of Zoval. Now, imagine what she could do with a direct access to his secrets. She'd know.
Or imagine what she could do if she reaches out to Helya.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, well, think about this. She knows about the Primus.
Yeah, she does. She at this point,
she would know. And here's the thing. Zoval is very powerful, but he is trapped. That's the whole reason he wants somebody on this side. If Jaina is there and she's not following his plan, he'll begin reacting. He'll begin trying to create other minions to do it. He'll use the Nathrezim and so forth. So she's going to go along with it as long as she needs to.
Mm-hmm. Until she can take the turn.
Yeah, she'll build all that stuff under Ice Crown. She'll build the Saronite fortress. It's very interesting to me that Zoval has the Lich King build stuff out of Saronite. When what is Yogg-Saron keep calling himself? The old god of death?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Like, aren't you rivals? What's going on with this? Unless it's quite frankly the case that Zoval's that Yogg-Saron's not lying and he really is the old god of death. Why do they have an old god of death? Well, we know that the void can go to the Shadowlands, right? Maybe he's not the old god of death in the sense of that he has any special magical connection to or power from death. He's the old god of death because he's the old god who is assigned to help invade the Shadowlands.
The Shadowlands. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And same so thought. That's why they're using him to create the machinery that they're going to use to connect Zerath Mortis to Azeroth, because that's the easiest way to bridge the Shadowland barrier. Because Zerath Mortis, you have to get there from the Shadowlands. Yeah. And that's got me thinking about this is an even weirder thing to think about, but think about this much. If Azeroth is as important to the existence of the reality as we think it is, and it seems to be pretty freaking important, if Zoval was like, oh, we got to connect it up to Zareth Mortis so we can change reality, then it's very likely that there was something here already for them to plug into.
There had to have been.
Yeah. And I keep looking at where Ice Crown is, and it's right next to two Titan facilities.
It's right next to Alduar, and it's right next to the Engine and the Makers.
Yeah. Then three, because it's also next to Winter Scourge, the PvP zone.
Wintergrasp
has a Titan facility right there.
Yeah.
With Titan Watchers down there in it doing Titan stuff, and they're all right there around Ice Crown. And he builds this enormous structure and builds all this stuff underneath it. And we keep saying he builds it, but what if he didn't build it? What if he just grabbed hold of it?
Mm-hmm.
And think about what this implies. Like, the Titans have a similar thing to the Helm of the Domination magic. They can do a similar thing to demons and to elementals. Helya even helps build an elemental plane.
Oh, also, I want to point out that we're talking about these facilities. Reason that I bring up the Engine of the Makers is because the Engine of the Makers is part of the Forge of Wills, which I think is relevant here.
Yeah, absolutely, because you can make bodies there. You can make forge bodies there, and then you can put any spirit you want.
Yeah, there you go.
I was getting there. So yeah, think about, like, if these facilities, if the Titans were doing more than just building facilities to try and heal Azeroth, if they were building facilities to connect Azeroth, like, were they doing it willingly? Or even aware of them doing it.
Yeah, and I don't think they were. Like, we talk about them having programming. I think it was just something they felt they needed to do, maybe.
Well, that's the thing about being orderly. We've talked about it before, how order can be both imposed and sought. Like, you can want things to be regular and for them to be reasonable and for them to make, logical sense. And you can want to impose your will on things. And the second... giving things orders is essentially dominating them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So if you are these orderly beings, they might inherently, they view the world as working this way. They view the world as like what they did to the elementals or what they did to the demons. You grab these things that are not inherently part of your order and you order them, both in terms of making them orderly and in giving them orders. So, yeah, go ahead. I know you're going somewhere with this that connects. So,
well, no, what I was thinking is, like, where I'm going with this is all this knowledge and all these pieces are there. And I think that Jaina is probably the most likely person to see the pieces and start putting this together. And I think all of this starts to play into what is the scariest scenario. Arthas failed because, well, let's be honest. Arthas as a character... His character growth didn't really happen until many, many years after he was already dead. He was a brash child who had daddy issues.
He absolutely had a lot of potential.
He had potential, but
he was chosen to be a paladin. But absolutely. Everything you're saying is correct.
Which led him to ultimately fail because he still had the hubris of youth. He didn't have any of the tempering that he needed. And to be perfectly honest, his father didn't, in Uther to a certain degree, failed him because they weren't able to set his expectations outside of the hero worship. And that strive to be a hero ultimately led to his downfall because he fell trying to be that hero and then failed because he wanted us to fall like he did because he needed to feel validated that he succeeded as a hero. Jaina has none of this, right? She doesn't, she may have some self-doubt early on and she may have some things with the Antonitis speeches sort of, I don't want to say breaking her down, but I can't think of a better word for it.
Yeah. Shaping her, putting her in a different direction,
but she has something that Arthas doesn't have. And that's years of hard discipline because unlike the light is viewed as a gentle thing or something that can be wielded as a weapon in very specific circumstances, but it's almost at this era being treated as something that heals or is used in defense, right? This is what he's being taught. Jane has been taught that she's a living weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus there's the fact that the light doesn't make you learn anything to use it.
Correct.
The arcane magic is taught. Mm-hmm. You have to sit there and read all this. Well, you've seen how jacked all of these wizards are. The books are super heavy, and you have to pick them up, and now you're all swollen. I'm sorry, I'm just making a joke.
The wizards are swollen a thing for a reason.
Yeah, but seriously, you have to spend years. Look at what happened with Medivh. Mm-hmm. And Khadgar. Khadgar was a child when they sent him to Medivh. He'd already spent years being trained in magic to the point where he could actually be useful to Medivh, the guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sent him, you know, he basically goes from being, having spent his entire life having to study to being thrown in the deep end with one of the most powerful magicians who ever existed. That's how they view all of their students.
Yeah.
They don't, there's none of this is, it's like you're here, therefore you have to be ready. Not just because you're a living weapon, because that's a totally valid thing. You can pull arcane magic out and blow things up. And that's a whole part of the human tradition of magic. Humans got magic from the elves in the first place because the elves were desperate and needed someone to help them fight the trolls. And they did not expect humans to be so good with magic, but I think the fact that humans are, Titan forged ultimately, they're descended from actual Titan creations, means that arcane power, order magic, is extremely easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just took to it and just started blowing things up. But that's the whole thing. That the discipline you're talking about is part of how magic of their type works in the Warcraft setting. You have to learn this. You don't just know it. You don't just reach out to a higher power and have it fill you with its wisdom and power. You have to learn this stuff. And so it's weird. If you think about like all the other ones, shaman are the only ones I think are comparable.
Yeah, maybe.
Warlocks to a degree too, but shaman do have to learn what they're doing. They just learn it in different ways. They learn it from actual spirits who come and teach them. They learn it from connections to the world, but they learn it.
But there's also there's a level of discipline with there too that I think is on the same wavelength. It's not, I'm not just tuning the shaman horn because I love shaman, but it's one of those things where like they're taught to control themselves in a manner to speak with their ancestors, to do, commune with the spirits, to understand the spirits and to work with the spirits. They're taught a certain level of patience, which is why dark shamanism is so different. It's demanding and controlling.
But dark shamanism is actually very similar to arcane magic.
And very similar to domination magic.
Yeah. It's all about, you will do what I want because I am ultimately stronger of will than you. And there's like a lot of this comes back to what I was thinking about in terms of how you can have death druids.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have all these different things. Jaina's, there's two other people I can think of who, if they became the Lich King, would have a really good head start on this. Both of them are night elves. One is Ishara.
Yep.
If you put the Helm of Domination in Ishara's hands, there's absolutely no way she's putting it on her head. That's not happening.
No, she's gonna absorb that power.
She would look at it and go, okay, this magical web here. She would get it even faster than Jaina because she's got so much experience.
100% agreed.
Yeah, she would look at this thing and go, yeah, no, this here would try to control me. Here, this power siphon draws from the Shadowlands directly. That's interesting. And she'd start pulling it apart. If you gave it to Illidan, he would also not put it on.
But he would do similar to what Ishara did.
He would do similar to what Ishara did, but also similar to what he did when he got the Skull of Gul'dan. He ripped all the power out of it. It turned to dust in his hands.
Yeah.
And he would have done that with the Helm of Domination, which would mean that there's no... What he would have is basically the power flowing into him, which would be dangerous because he wouldn't have the control that Ishara would have or the control that Jaina would have. But keep in mind, these three are all trained arcane magicians.
And I highly recommend going through the Legion quest line that shows you the Illidan storyline, what happened with Ravencrest Manor and the Moonguard. But what I mean with Jaina being scary in this position is the same reason I think Ishara would be absolutely scary in this position as well.
You give this thing to Ishara, forget it. My God.
But I think the reason that it becomes scary is, I unlike Arthas, I think Jaina wins, but I don't think she wins in the same manner of like global destruction. Instead, I think we almost get a totalitarian state under the rule of Jaina the Lich Queen.
See, here's the thing. I don't think we would. And you want to know
really? Why?
Because she wouldn't need to. You in fact, set it up why she wouldn't need to. When you said that she'd be a diplomat, she'd go forth and she'd find the people that she thought she could trust, and she'd reveal what she knew. The first people she would try to bring on her side would be the Council of Six.
100%.
And she's Antoninus's prize. She's his like baby girl, essentially. I think she has a decent chance of getting Antoninus on her side.
And not already,
perfect, but a chance. And the thing is that while she's got the access to the helmet, she's got access to domination magic.
Yeah.
Which means she could dominate him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with you, and that's where I'm kind of going with this.
But keep listening. She controls Antoninus, but she doesn't let him know she's controlling her.
Of course, it's subtle.
And she then, from them, she uses the Council of Six to reach out to others. And essentially, your idea about Kael'thas, I think that she basically makes the deal with Kael'thas. And I think in the back of her head, she'd know, okay, he has these strong emotions for me. But unfortunately, strong emotions are not acceptable right now. I can't have them. And therefore, his strong emotions, he's just going to have to deal with them. Or I guess I could deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets Kael'thas. He's now, essentially, he becomes king. He becomes a king or prince regent of his people. Like, Anisterion's not dead. But through Kael'thas, she basically has a route to control Anisterion when she needs to.
She can do the same thing through Arthas.
Yeah. Although, that's the thing. That's the problem, is Arthas. Arthas is to her what Nathanos was to Sylvanas.
Yeah.
Like, Nathanos is the only person who could make Sylvanas lose control. Like, when she finds out he's dead, you see that look on her face, like, what? Like, you know, when Tyrande says, you know, I did it to him and I'll do it to you. So, I'll skip through a lot of this. Arthas sees the woman he loves turn into this.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows she did it for him. I mean, she did it for lots of reasons, but he, in his heart, because he is that kind of person, she did it for him. So now he feels guilty. We've seen what Arthas does with guilt, because that's the whole thing that destroyed him the first time, is he couldn't stop it. Keep in mind, there's this whole bit in Warcraft 3 where Arthas and his people go to Hearthglen. And this is the crux of why he wanted to blow up Stratholme. It's because he went to Hearthglen and he didn't destroy the grain immediately. He didn't start killing people. He tried to help them.
And he saw what happened.
And they all turned and most of his guys got killed, dragged down by them. He barely escaped with his life. And that's the first time he failed. And that failure is what put him down the road to becoming the Lich King, because he could not tolerate it again. He could not allow this to happen again. Nothing was too much to prevent this. But imagine now he sees Jaina has turned into this thing and she's doing stuff, and he knows that it's not to be trusted because it comes from the same place as that plague that killed all those people in Hearthglen. So what does he do? Jaina's a deeper thinker, but he's a general, as you pointed out. He's very strong-minded in terms of planning and tactics, and he has someone who's better than him.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down and he grabs Varian. And keep in mind that this would be before Varian's wife died. They just started rebuilding Stormwind. Varian's life is doing great. And he goes down to Varian, the guy who was, he had his paladin ceremony in Stormwind Cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
So that Varian could be there. He goes to Varian and he's like, this is wrong. I know this is wrong. And now you've got, that's the biggest gift Arthas could give Jaina. Because now Varian's going to want to talk to her himself. And he is a better tactician than Arthas, because he lived through the destruction of Stormwind, right?
Yeah.
So he is not hard to convince. He would go along with it. He always, in every universe, even when Varian doesn't think she's right, Varian goes along with Jaina a lot. He's often going along with Jaina. I think he would this time. And when you get to a certain point, she doesn't have to rule as a totalitarian dictator. She doesn't have to rule at all.
Well, so
and that's the thing. I think we're basically both saying the same thing, but we're saying it differently.
Yeah.
My theory is that my problem with Jaina as the Lich King is that I think she'd be too good at it, and therefore there's not a lot of drama to this.
Well, maybe not. So hear me out on this one. So I think there's an element to this where when I say totalitarian, the other thing you have to understand, or at least take in consideration here too, is while we're giving her a lot of credit, a lot of the things that you're ascribing to her are later on in her life.
And that's true.
One of the things that I think is necessary here is to understand that as a younger person, what is one thing that Jaina always wanted and strove for, no matter what, even when the chips were down, even in the darkest of situations, she wanted everyone to get along. What does she have the power to do now?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my entire thought, is that she would basically use that power to get everyone to get along.
And then I think what happened, and then you have like these heroes that are being put back into Titanforge bodies or Drustforge bodies, whatever you want to call them. You have all these old souls and heroes and anima being reanimated and uses our additional armies and forces, very similar to what the Jailer is doing without making them amalgamations. And I think Arthas is the problem for her here.
Like, oh, yeah, he definitely would be. He would not be happy with this.
But I think here's the interesting thing. So I think she succeeds, and I think the world, and I'm air quoting this, is at peace. And
here's the other thing too. Like with all this happening, do the forces, the Legion, still trying to conquer this planet?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've lost their biggest tool. Like the guy who was going to open the way is gone. So now the Nathrezime, Jaina would have had to have killed them immediately in order to get to this point. She would have to at some point kill them so that she can start moving openly. But now that puts them, the Legion, the Nathrezime know, we messed up. We lost control. We need to get the situation back under control. The Legion's a really good tool for that. Like, we've been using them this whole time. Yep. We can use them again. And the other side of the world isn't in any way, shape, or form united with these people unless Jaina decides to go over there. And they're not going to be like, oh, well, you're a horrible undead thing. Yeah, we absolutely want to do what you tell us. You know what I mean? Like, there's that whole area isn't part of what's going on here. And how does Jaina tackle that? I think that's a big place where she could get in trouble.
Yeah, and I think so too. But I also think that what winds up happening, at least a little bit here, and this is where I think Arthas becoming a problem, is you hit the nail on the head. And this is where I think the conflict starts coming in. It's years later. Everything is maybe, I don't want to say calm, but like her plans are in motion. Maybe she's going to try to subjugate the Legion next. Maybe whatever her move is. While she's doing this, Arthas sees her slipping further and further away. Because again, it's not that she's not smart. The problem here is she might be too smart. And this sounds like
she's too much suppressing her. She's suppressing
her emotions.
The things that led her to start doing this, in a weird sort of way, it's the opposite of the Arthas problem.
It is exactly the opposite of the Arthas problem. Well, so we're on the same page, but I think for me, what makes it at least a little bit interesting is that I think Arthas then starts to form the resistance. He's become older and wiser. Maybe he's taken over as leader of Lordaeron. Maybe his father has passed away from old age. Maybe his father's in a Titanforge suit, you know, walking around, but he's no longer, you know, the king. He's like, well, I'm dead. I'm going to go fight on the front lines again. You take over. You are now in charge of our people. But he starts to see the cracks, right? He starts to see the little miseries, the little pains, and he's old enough now. Uther isn't gone. Uther's still there to tutor him. It has been for as long as he's been able to be alive. Maybe Uther is brought back if Uther dies of natural causes or dies on the battlefield, and he still gives counsel to Arthas. And Uther is also a very strong and very smart individual and a very strong character person that maybe has the ability to fight against domination magic to a certain degree.
Plus, I mean, we know full well that she's going to not use it unless she has to.
Correct. And also, she's also not doing one other thing that might be a factor here as well. She's not wielding the light. And that's so now, you have the potentially the strife of Arthas wanting to save her in the same way she wanted to save him, but it's just a little bit different. It's just a little bit twisted. He just got it. He has to get that helm off her head. He's got to get 5 minutes alone with her. He's got to talk with her. He's got to remind her of all of the good times and why she did this in the first place. And
who she actually is, not the person that she's turning into.
Sorry. And so the game becomes less about survival and more about almost like espionage, almost like you're part of the underground. You are part of Arthas's resistance, not to like destroy people. Maybe you're part of that shamanistic group. Maybe you're part of the, the Druid of the Thorn or the Shaman of the Thorn, or the Tide Shaman or whatever they're called. Maybe you understand now that maybe death is good and you start to see maybe the Shadowlands starts breaking down because it's being starved of anima at this point because she's taking it all.
Yanking it all out. Yeah.
And the universe starts to shift subtly. You start to see the cracks in your power. You start to see the light wane a little, or maybe not the light, but you start to see like maybe the devourers start showing up more and more frequently. Maybe they start showing up on Azeroth proper, but it's such a minor inconvenience for her. Forces can take care of it. She doesn't see the frequency with which it happens. She doesn't see the farmers. And this is the problem that Arthas had, that Stormwind and the rest of them had. Isolated farmers were dying to the scourge, and there was nothing they could do about it. And they didn't find out about it until way later. And in Shadowlands, when you're doing the Bastion stuff, you play through one of those events where they're coming in and they're taking out the farmer and there's no help because there's no warning. Now there is, except she's not listening. She's too busy trying to subjugate the Legion. She's too busy trying to bring Archimon to heal or you know, kill Jaden or maybe the Nathrezim in general. She's got her own plan to keep securing the rest of the universe now that she's got Azeroth under her control. So she's not paying attention. And it's from a place of good where you're trying to fight through her legions, trying to release those souls back because they should go back to the Shadowlands. They should be back to fueling what the first ones wanted in the first place because this isn't it and this isn't going to work. And I think that's where that conflict starts coming in. It takes on a whole different meaning to what we're dealing with now at the cosmic level. And I think that's the twist. And I'm going to shut up and let you talk for a while now, but that's just kind of where I think it goes.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is one direction it could go, but I think one of the reasons that I don't necessarily think Jaine is a good Lich King or Queen or whatever is because I think she could actually do it.
Yeah, she could win.
And no, not just that. I think she could actually avoid the stuff you're talking about. Like, I don't think
And again, keep in mind the Jaina of that age, not the Jaina we have now, too, and I think that plays a factor.
Yes, but it does, but you're also forgetting that it still wouldn't be the Jaina at that age, because it would be Jaina after being exposed to this for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And that means she'd be thinking, it's quite possible that she wouldn't even try to subjugate the Legion, because that's not, all she needs to do is keep them off her. The thing she needs is to get rid of Zoval. I'm thinking, you're looking for her to be in Arthas's role as a villain, as somebody that we end up having to stop. I'm looking at her and saying, you know what? She might just be like a better version of the way I just said his name when we were talking about the other Lich King after Arthas.
Kel'thas.
No, after Arthas. Old. No, when Arthas was dead. Oh, Bolvar. Thank you. I could not remember his name.
Too many people.
Bolvar. When he had the helmet on, he spent his time probing, trying to figure out what was going on. The problem he had was he didn't have that period of time that Arthas had.
And the fact that he also wasn't a trained magician or mage.
He wasn't a trained magician, and he didn't really know what he was looking for. He still got glimpses. He still figured some stuff out. But I think for her, Zoval would be her main target all along. And I'm thinking what you would have instead of Jaina as this thing we had to fight and stop is essentially as Lich Queen, she's successful at being relatively good. Kind of the same way that Bolvar was. Bolvar did some sketchy stuff, like violating a red dragon, you know, he did some sketchy stuff, but he never lost sight of why he was doing it. I don't think she'd want to run the world, just set up her plan to take out Zoval.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I don't think maybe necessarily she runs the world, but I think like if two people start like having a conflict, she's at that point where I don't think she lets the conflict happen. She immediately makes them toe the line.
And I don't know that that's the case, but
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But I'm accepting that that's one possibility, and that's cool. That is one way to look
at it. I accept that yours is also a possibility. Yeah,
but the way I'm looking at it is, I can imagine we still get Burning Crusade. Like, after she's managed to prevent the Legion initial invasion, but we still get, in fact, WoW might just start with the Burning Crusade. Like, she decides, using the people that she's got connections with, we're going to go and we're going to stop them from coming to here. And the first step to doing that, and keep in mind, again, we've talked about how we haven't really decided what happens in Kalimdor, because we know Kalimdor is crucial to the Legion's plan to destroy the world. They want to blow up that world tree.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to grab all that power and destroy that world tree. And one of the reasons we think, we know in retrospect how important world trees are. We've been talking about this, talking about the end of Dragonflight. Thank you. The end of Dragonflight, we're given tantalizing hints about how important that world tree really was.
Mm-hmm.
The primordial original one, about the possible shield over the world it put there. The Legion wanted to blow up a world tree. Why? Why do the Void Lords and their old god servants hate the world trees? They want to see them go up as candles. So Kalimdor is very important for a lot of these things' plans, and therefore she'd have to make some kind of contact with it, right? What kind of contact does she make? How does she make it? How does she get around? Does she send Kael'thas? Do the blood elves, who aren't blood elves, they're high elves. There would be no reason for them to ever
They would be high elves. They would never be blood elves at this point.
Yeah. So do they go over? Do they make contact? Do they have like old ways to reach them that they don't use very much? Like, we know that some high elves did go over to Winterspring. That's in the quest in Winterspring. There were high elves that went over during the period of time that they were separated. Some people did make the trip. It wasn't very often, but it did happen. I think that the world of Warcraft we'd have would essentially be reaching out to those places on Azeroth, kind of like it actually has been, except that Kalimdor would be one of those places that we'd reach out to. It would start very much in the Eastern Kingdoms.
Yeah, it would have
And then there'd be reaching out, going back to Kalimdor, exploring this new world, meeting the elves in a completely different way. And also keep in mind this, with her as the Lich Queen, the orcs still steal ships.
Mm-hmm.
They still leave, led by Thrall. They still recruit the trolls. They still get to Kalimdor, and there's no humans there. And they get to Kalimdor. They make contact with the Tauren. Eventually, they start having conflict with the elves over, mm-hmm. you know, resources and so forth. And then suddenly Jaina shows up and engineers a peace. And I think that she could do it with all the stuff that she's got. But I also think that if she did manage to get over there and do that, she'd have to share what she knows with people with a lot more experience than her. Like, you tell the Night Elves about what you've seen and what you're experiencing. We know that Ilune knows about the Shadowland.
Yep.
We know that Ilune knows about the old gods. And
there's a connection through the Emerald Dream.
Yeah. And we know that Aonar and Ilune had a thing going on. There's a lot of ways that this could shake out, like you're talking about, where there's a conflict with Arthas and all that stuff. But there's also like a lot of ways where this could be like the thing that we saw Anduin doing in the future back in Legion. This could be that, but with Jaina. And the fact that she's the Lich Queen is this horrible thing that she has to keep, like, she's doing it, she's keeping it going, but only Arthas might see the toll it is taking on her.
Yeah.
That it is literally destroying her piece by piece by piece. That, and so I think if you're going to have a conflict with him, the conflict is not about him, you know, leading a resistance against her, because, well, at least not.
I don't mean a resistance might be the bad term. Yeah.
Well, your whole thing about espionage is a good way to look at it. But I think, imagine what happens if he takes the helmet from her and puts it on himself.
We have a completely different Arthas now wearing that helmet. Yeah.
And plus, she's no longer in that role, which means that everything has to change. Like, he could be like, you know, he could do it with the best of possible reasons. He's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for her. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, he cuts her off at absolutely the wrong time. And now we get Shadowlands, essentially. The sky rips open. Zoval's now got his way into the world, because all the stuff that Jane has been doing has been poking holes in the veil, right? She's been pulling stuff from the Shadowlands.
Yeah, weakening the space between, because, again, pulling those souls back or doing whatever she's doing with the magic and anima that she has access to now.
Yeah. And with him in wearing the hat, he doesn't have that. He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't understand it. And there's no Ner'zhul in there for him to fight with. He's great at fighting things, but he's not great at understanding, like, especially not at first glance. And this isn't that he's stupid. He just does not know what, you know, he's not an arcane magician. He doesn't know about all this stuff. So it's quite possible that he just goes immediately. Like, he's just dominated.
Yeah.
You know, he puts it on, he's dominated, he grabs her, and he goes through the big hole in the sky. And now we have to go do Shadowlands, possibly before we even get to do, like, you know, that we might do Burning Crusade, where we're helping to stop the Legion, we prevent the Legion in trouble for a while, and then boom, we're right into Shadowlands. It might be the second thing that happens.
Yeah, because Wrath of the Lich King never happens at that point.
Yeah, or, you know, it's basically...
It becomes Wrath of the Shadowlands.
Yeah, it's both at once. You know, boom, we got it all. And you've got Arthas as a major villain, but you've also... He's doing the Anduin thing. He's being piloted.
Eah.
You know? And it's just... It is... There are ways to do this, but I honestly feel like Jaina doesn't work as a villain, even with this power.
Yeah,
like, she'd never be somebody we'd fight, but she could be somebody that is very important to the story.
Yeah, it's an interesting. That's why I always thought it was an interesting discussion, because there's, and we're sort of running out of time here, but I just want to kind of pull this out, is Jaina as a character has filled so many roles over the years, and one of the things that always comes up is Jaina as a potential villain, but that can mean so many nuanced things. Villain at this point isn't necessarily that you're always the bad guy, but I think it means more the focus or focal point of the story, that everything hinges around that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's safe to say that in a way she's kind of like an anti-protagonist or something.
Yeah.
Because you're the protagonist, because you're playing the game, but she's really the mover and shaker of this idea, if this was an actual story. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, however, because we've used up all this time talking about Jaina, we didn't even get to my thing where I don't think Kel'Thas would go for it under any circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe, if you guys want to hear us talk about that one in another episode, let us know. Because I literally have a notepad next to my desk where I've been scribbling down notes and ideas for like a week on this topic. So I think we're going to call it there, unless there's anything else you want to add.
Only that I have a ton of stuff involving the Titans that would have played into this, but we just don't have time. This is the problem with us doing these things, is that we just never have
time. There's so much we can do.
Yeah, there's just so much more to this. Like, I'm sitting here as we're talking, the two of us are both coming up with stuff, and it's like, ooh, okay, but what about this? So yeah, there's like, we didn't really get to talk about what the Horde would be like.
Yeah,
in this circumstances,
Horde would be completely different.
I think it would be fascinating to see the Horde with that stuff. But go ahead.
Let's pose this to the audience. If you want us to do a part two on this and finish exploring the volumetric differences of how World of Warcraft would look under this, going into the aspects of the Horde, going into how things would structure, like with Mists of Pandaria and things like that, let us know. Maybe we'll do a part two on this. But until then, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. Again, if you have questions for this or any of our podcasts, be sure to send those in to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Specify the show that it is for in the subject line, along with any special pronunciations of your name. You can also hit us up on Discord in our Q and podcast questions channel, which is open to everybody. Same rules apply. And if you are a Patreon supporter, as an additional way of saying thank you for helping us keep the lights on, the Patreon Q and podcast questions channel is there for you. And we will always look there first for topics and questions. But with that, folks, we'll see you next week.
Pumpkin Ghost.